The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome. It is the best Tuesday I've had all week, and it is time for the True Wealth Radio Show. I am your host, Dave Littlejohn, but I have co-hosting with me, of course.
Yep, Matt Dixon.
And we've got, I always say we got a great show for you, right?
This one is a fun show.
It is.
Because we always talk about saving money, and we might hint at spending some.
Right. So this is an extrapolation of the marshmallow experiment as a show.
Yep. I like it.
Yep. So
talk to me. Well, not to me, because I already know what it is. But talk to the listeners a little bit about what this experiment is, maybe.
Okay. Well, so let me get the dates right on this, because we're on camera now.
The year was 1985.
Right. Yeah, it was a good year.
No idea.
Right? We had. It was actually done, I think, in the 70s. So what happened was they took a group of kids. And they had a 15-minute experiment, and they said, here, we're going to give you a marshmallow, and we're going to put it in front of you on this table. And he said, if you don't eat it, we're going to come back in 15 minutes, and you can have two marshmallows.
Mm-hmm.
And then they walked out of the room, and they watched what happened. Okay, I've seen this experiment replicated, by the way. It's really adorable.
Wild.
But what they found is the kids that didn't eat the marshmallow, right, that exercise some deferred or delayed gratification, demonstrated in the future higher test scores and higher financial acumen and more financial success throughout their lives.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it is often said in financial planning circles, at least, that the single greatest determinant of somebody's financial success is their ability to delay gratification.
Right.
Okay. And so I want to talk about the concept of delayed gratification here. But I don't just want to talk about it the way a lot of people do, which is, hey, it's compound interest and time in the markets, and you just need to start early and often and save. Those things are not true, but there are windows of opportunity. And what I want to help people understand is, when are the times that you should seize things versus when are the times you should delay things? And I'm going to tell you, it's probably slightly disappointing, is like there is not a specific right or wrong to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's some pretty obvious ones, but not everything's obvious. And so how do you weigh these decisions, and what does it mean for us both as investors and I think as kind of generally successful human beings?
Right.
Right. So hence the marshmallow concept, right, is can you or can't you delay gratification? And it started by giving kids marshmallows.
It's a pretty interesting experiment, especially the ones where they'll wait more than just that 15 minutes to see how long will they sit there and wait and be patient.
Yeah, that's not one I've seen.
Yeah.
So what do you know that I don't?
Well, they've run different variations of this test.
Okay.
Where it's like, hey, you know, it's not just going to be one or two marshmallows. You're going to get a lot more, but you just got to wait 15 minutes, but they don't come back in for over an hour. And sometimes the kid is still sitting there, and they'll grab the marshmallow, they'll look at it. Yeah, they'll smell it, they'll think about it, and then you see it on their face like, nope, I can't do it, and they'll set it back down. But it's really interesting to watch the behaviors, and how long can you actually delay it for? And some people can delay for an extremely long period of time.
I think there are some, there's probably a lot more correlation type research elements to this in terms of personality and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, and a lot of it is trained behavior too, like looking at like how did the parents raise that child. That really can be a huge determining factor in what type of results you're getting.
Yeah. And you know what's really fascinating, we're not going to delve deep into the show or into this during the show, because honestly it gets out of my pay grade in a hurry. it's fascinating to see some of the brain research these days and like the neural pathways that are formed and the way like the dopamine and serotonin cycles that occur mm-hmm. and how that plays into things. There's a lot of research now about how doing hard things grows a specific part of your brain that makes it easier to do hard things, right? So it's almost like you can train for more bravery or boldness.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild.
That's fascinating to think about.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, do you think that you can, if you're born with certain habits, can you break them? And I said, yeah, I absolutely think you can. And the question got a little more complicated when I said, well, can you overcome genetics for things like longevity? And I said, well, I think you can do things that improve the odds.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can make an impact. But the brain in particular is neuroelastic, right? This ability to rewire it if you do it on purpose.
A lot of people don't actually think about the brain as a key element in your longevity, right? Like mm-hmm. we always think about, you know, what are we doing physically to make sure that, you know, our muscles, right, are
sure.
maybe in shape, or, you know, we're drinking our milk and taking calcium so that our bones are strong. But a lot of people actually, I think, you know, especially later on in retirement, they might walk away from work where they were really actively using that brain, and then they just kind of sit there and hang out. And it's crazy how fast the brain can kind of deteriorate and unwind on you if you're not using it or challenging it or doing stuff to, you know, expand your knowledge base. And some of the most successful people I've seen in their older age are people that are like playing an instrument, for example. Mm-hmm. Or they're doing some sort of sport, or, you know, crossword puzzles, just things that are engaging. They're traveling, they're doing things. It yeah. really does make a big difference, I think, in your longevity. Are you keeping that brain engaged and active?
I don't have the research in front of me, but I have no reason to doubt it. And anecdotally, I've seen the same thing you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't think about it as it's part of the muscle group, right? Like if the mind is a muscle, you have to exercise it,
mm-hmm.
right? Or it'll atrophy.
Right.
Okay? And that's assuming you don't have a disease or something else that robs you of it. You know, as far as I know, time is undefeated,
yep.
right? Like everybody dies. So that's, you know, that's a thing. But the quality of life, this is something I really want to focus on. If you're listening out there, I will refer by first name only and say, I got this term from Carol, okay?
Okay.
Who's awesome. But she explained to me one of the terms. It's probably not unique to her, but she's the one that introduced me to it. QTR.
Okay? Quality time remaining.
Correct. Quality time remaining.
I've heard you talk about this a little bit.
Yep. And so this is the matter of like when you're a teenager, again, barring some kind of accident, you have still decades in front of you typically. And so you have plenty of quality time remaining. The value of deferring gratification is really high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But or at least depending on what it is, right? That's the other thing is it valuable to defer? So we're going to try to unpack that a little bit today.
Right.
Okay. But for somebody that is older, let's say you're in your 70s, the value of deferral, depending on what it is, may be very low.
Right. Right? Especially if you have enough, you know, assets or resources in order to, you know, you're going to be fine. Maybe it is time to do that thing or take that trip, whatever that is. Because like you just said, how much quality time do you have?
Yeah. Yeah. So what we want to talk about a little bit today is the frame up of how do you decide what to defer now? We know that it's a good idea to defer, right? The stats play out. In fact, what we were looking at, something like 20% more savings and lower debt for somebody that's practiced at deferred gratification.
Yep.
These are just some of the anecdotal stats, right?
Well, it doesn't have to be deferring, you know, huge things. I mean, it can be deferring little tiny pieces often. A lot of people forget about that. It's like, oh, well, you passed up on that $5 coffee on the way to work and you made yourself a 50-cent cup of coffee. And you delay that long enough, that can add up.
That plays out. And by the way, this isn't just finance.
No.
Okay? This is the walking by the treat bowl and not eating an extra piece of chocolate, right? Think about over a lifetime the compounding effect of an extra 50 calories a day,
mm-hmm.
right? 3,600 calories in an excess pound, right? Pound of fats, 3,600 calories. So you do the math on that, right? So
right.
every 18 days, if you had an extra 50 calories, in theory, I think I'm doing the math right, that you'd end up with, or no, it's double that, right? So it'd be every 72 days you'd add a pound.
Right.
Which is about 4 pounds a year or 5 pounds a year.
Right.
Do that over 20 years. Mm-hmm. You're 100 pounds overweight.
Right.
That's a 50-calorie-a-day slippage over the years, right? And so the same happens the same way you good habits take things back off. So one of the things we'll talk about today a little bit, concept of micro habits, okay? How you weigh the risk and reward of a decision. And the, what do we call it, Matt? The when, if, ever. Mm-hmm. Phrase, right? When, yeah. if ever. So we want to talk about some of these things. We want to help our listeners, and maybe this isn't for you, but maybe you're looking for a way to frame this for somebody else because they're struggling to make their way through a decision, okay? Maybe so. Then this may be the program for them, okay?
Nice.
So when we come back, let's crack into the idea of, okay, what are some of the things that we should be deferring or not?
I've got a good example for you, actually.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, you said we're going to break, though. So
all right, Matt, yeah. very, very sly right there, teasing the next segment.
Matt's got some
examples, but when we come back, we're going to talk about when do we take action or when don't we and why. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
How did you get... Don't even answer that.
I'm not going
to. Yeah, yeah. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where you have to catch the podcast or the video afterwards to know what the heck we're talking about.
You should
during
check
the break.
It out.
Matt, you had some examples. Look, today we're talking about the appropriateness or lack thereof for deferring gratification. Basically, when should you take action and when should you wait?
Right.
Well, and you had some examples that you wanted to maybe give.
One in particular.
All right.
And it's kind of around education and in this theory of like, should I start this career? Should I delay this career? And I thought back to a time when I think minimum wage in Oregon was like $7 an hour, right?
Okay.
And I was fresh out of high school, and I got a job making over $18 an hour. And so at the time, it looked like great money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was working this job to pay for school. And I could have kept the job and just said, to heck with college. You know, I'm making $11 an hour more than minimum wage. I can just stay here. And it would have had a retirement plan. The whole works, right? And everyone at the job was like, hey.
You could just say it.
Yeah,
I mean, like, we all kind of are figuring it out if you're local anyway.
And they were like, hey, you know, you got to get out of here. You got to go on, finish college, do that whole deal, and, you know, move on. And I did. And I'm really glad I did because that job today is probably paying, you know, $23, $24 an hour. Not a lot more than it was, you know, back when I was doing that, 15 plus years ago?
Yeah.
And so I look at that and I'm like, you know, it was worth it to go get the education, get the degree, and move on to new things, even though I could have been, you know, making a lot of money for
Whole
that time.
Separate show about the value of education. I will simply summarize this. We've talked about this before, too. I think education really needs to be looked at as an investment in oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're calculating whether or not something's an investment, you calculate anticipated return.
Yeah.
So this is really interesting with your example. Let me just piggyback on that for a sec.
Sure.
I used to hear stuff. My folks would talk about this, too. And they talk about, hey, you could come out of the gate really strong. But if you cap out earlier, there's a point at which delaying gratification may put you in a higher career path. So let me give you an example today. This, by the way, is getting, the math is changing on this. But it used to be, let's say you were going to become a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through maybe just some industry certifications. It wasn't formal schooling, but you went through some industry certifications. You might have been able to have been trained on the job somewhere. And you would make a decent hourly wage. And this was 20 years ago, but let's say you're making $50 an hour. Okay, that's a pretty solid wage. Mm-hmm. But you could have also gone to medical school and come out. And so I don't really math on $50 an hour is what, right? 100-ish a year? I'm going to have to do math in real time.
Yeah.
But that's a great, you know, salary at that range, okay? But there are doctors that are making $250,000, $300,000 or more, right? Surgeons making $500,000 a year. And you think, well, then the surgeon is clearly better. It said, but wait, if you get to start pretty much right out of school, so from the age of, let's say, 20 to 65, and you're making $100,000 a year, and you get everything paid for, and you kind of come out of the gate pretty strong,
and you don't
cap
have
out,
any debt, no debt.
Yeah, you cap out. Well, a doctor's going to go to like another 10 years of schooling and residency or more, right? Mm-hmm. 12 years, right? So you look at, they're going to start more than a decade later than you. They're going to get paid a whole lot more, but they're going to come out with close to $1 million worth of debt too.
Right.
So you have to pay all that debt back, and then they're going to have to pile in a whole lot more later to catch up to where you were because you had all this time. So the math is not always that obvious.
That's right? True.
And here's the other thing that happens with, and I'm not going to pick on doctors, but say a lot of high earners, right? If they come out with a lot of debt and then they find themselves in high earning positions, didn't necessarily develop the skill set to manage the money. And so if they end up spending as much as they're making and they don't pay down the debts, they get to a point later in life where they go, wait a second, the math isn't what I thought. I've had a much more extravagant lifestyle because I had capital coming through my life, but I didn't pay down the debts and I created a different issue, right? So that delayed gratification was so long, and the lessons weren't necessarily learned. It was just, well, I went to med school, so I didn't have any money to spend, and I didn't have any time to spend it. But when I finally did, it's like I started buying sports cars and big houses.
Yeah.
And never paid the debt off.
It's interesting that you brought that up. It kind of triggered something in the back of my mind where I was listening to Dave Ramsey talk one time, and he was giving the professions on average that have the highest net worth, you know, coming into retirement. And it would shock you what some of those professions were. They weren't jobs that paid a ton of money, but what they found was it's sometimes less about what you make and more about the principles and the discipline that you have throughout the years, because, you know, you have really good behavior for a really long time frame. That often ends up putting you in a better position than a lot of pay and bad habits.
Yeah. And we really are talking about financial habits here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that we recognize that. I'll draw a contrast in a moment here. But financial habits, there's some things that are so basic and they're not necessarily intuitive for people. I think a lot of this is how people are wired, believe it or not. But again, I also believe you can learn things and sort of forcefully rewire your mind if you want to. Like, you
right.
can train yourself into different behavior. And one of them is, it always shocks me when people spend more than they earn, right? That they think, oh, I have access to credit so I can go ahead and do these things. So I want the vacation. Well, I want it now. So I borrow money to go on vacation. Then I have to pay it back.
Well, and then you also have the person that's close to that, but a little bit better. They're the person that says, hey, you know, I've got $6,000 a month coming in. I'm going to figure out a way to have that camp trailer and the boat and the house.
Yeah, everything's
and
built around the cash flow.
It's
yeah.
100% designed around the cash flow.
I think
that's a
lot
America.
Of people, by
that's
the way.
America.
Yes, I think that is America. It's like, well, I can afford to keep the plates spinning, therefore mm-hmm. I'm winning.
Yeah, and then you get a raise and you're like, sweet, I'm making another $500 a month. What toy can we put in the garage?
Right.
And the spiral continues.
Well, and it's this is an interesting one for me personally. I never understood that. I saw people that were younger than me that had just a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sort of
same.
Shocked by this. Like, how do you have all this stuff? I can't afford any of this.
Mm-hmm.
But their definition of afford is different. It is we can keep the payments on the merry-go-round.
Yep.
Right? It has nothing to do with whether or not it's getting paid for or if their net worth is increasing. It's just, no, we just keep the merry-go-round spinning.
Well, and how many times are those people buying a depreciating asset where it's like, I'm leveraged up for the next 9 years or whatever, and by the time I'm done making these payments, my stuff's going to be worth less than half of what I bought it for, but gosh darn it, that's when I just go and buy the next thing.
Here's a funny thing, too. I don't know why I've never thought about this before. This is a real-time epiphany. Okay, you know, there's another name for a depreciating asset.
What?
A liability. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing is not making you money.
Right.
It's not storing value. It's a melting ice cube.
Yeah.
Right? So now there will be people out there that are going to rationalize this by saying, yeah, but I get to have all this fun and make all these memories and say, well, maybe. Mm-hmm. Okay? Maybe.
Or you're going to be so stressed out trying to pay all those bills that, yeah, you might be gone for the weekend having fun, but you know what awaits you Monday through Friday. Yeah.
So, and this is a really natural segue into a really critical point. Notice earlier, if you were listening, we were real careful about our language. We said some things you should defer,
mm-hmm.
okay? Not everything, okay? Now, this one, I do not want somebody to take this as a point to rationalize bad financial decisions, right? Yeah, we bought the camp trailer and the quads and the snowmobiles and the boat and you know, and we got a new vehicle and like it's on and we're leasing it and you know, we're kind of shuffling the payments around and I can mostly make it. Sometimes I put a loan on the credit card in order to make it work. And then, you know, but groceries got more expensive and oh my gosh, right? It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's bad financial behavior.
Well, and you're always just one mistake or one little whoopsie away from losing it all.
That's the thing is, you know, it's a house of cards.
Yep.
It's built on your ability to keep the plates spinning all the time. And I think folks have willful blindness to the risk,
mm-hmm.
right? They just do it on purpose. They know, but they don't want to know. So that's one of those issues. So those are examples where you probably should be delaying gratification.
Right.
Okay. You can't have all of the toys. Or the experiences you want to have, like you can pick an experience, but not all the experiences, right? Okay, you really love to ride quads with people. Like if you have a quad, that's your toy. You don't get to have the quads and the boat,
yep.
and the second boat, right? Because we need a ski boat and we need a, you know, a river boat. It's like
pump the brakes, David. A guy needs four boats. Okay.
Okay.
It's not a want, right. It's a need.
So when you call the office, you ask for Matt if you're that guy. Just so you're right. Clear, right?
That's right.
yeah. You're gonna do that, aren't you, Matt?
I will.
I'll just
reclassify it on air. The boats.
Yeah, he's
are
like,
a
no,
need.
No, that's an asset, promise. Well, the crazy thing lately is some of these things really have appreciated.
Oh, it's nuts.
You know, with the way pricing has gone with COVID, the secondary market for a lot of these things has appreciated, right? You may have purchased an RV or a trailer or something and not lost money in it. Mm-hmm. That's rare, right?
It is rare.
So I don't want us to try to rationalize that decision. I think the bigger thing, here's what I wanna compare it to though. When we talk about risk and reward is a different kind of analysis. When mm-hmm. you're talking about investments, saying, well, how much am I risking and how much might I earn, okay? I want to talk about the, I keep trying to remember to say, it's the, what did I call it? Now, if, when?
Oh,
yeah.
If not now, then when?
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, or it, yeah, it's the...
If
ever or never kind of thing. It's I had a fun phrasing for it. I should have written it down. That's what I get. But the idea is some things, if not now, when or if ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. If not now, if ever.
Is the scarier one.
I
right?
think because, that's the thing is certain things. Yeah. There's just these moments in time and we have to do the math different. This mm-hmm. is really hard in the financial world because everybody says delay gratification. Right. But. You think about, okay, how many birthdays do you get with your kids?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean have an extravagant birthday you can't afford, but it may mean spending the time with your kid rather than going fishing or something like that.
Sure.
Because there's only so many birthdays.
Right.
Right? There's only so many tuck-ins of your kid, mm-hmm. right, in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay. There's only so many times that you're going to see your parents
yep.
before... You know, they, if all goes normally, they're going to age out someday and you won't have them anymore. There's only such a realistic window of time to start a family. This is probably the trickiest one right now because culturally, a lot of things have moved around. People are waiting to have kids till a lot older because they're going through education. They're trying to get financially stable in a world where it's actually damn hard to get financially stable right now. If, mm-hmm. if you're starting from zero... It's hard. It is not undoable, but it's hard.
Well, that was one of the things I told my wife. I said, hey, you know, I don't want to start a family while we're renting and we don't have assets of any sort. Like, I want to be able to have a house with enough square feet to where you know, we don't feel like the walls are caving in on us. So, yeah, we intentionally delayed that a little bit and pushed it out because right. It's like we got to be in a good enough spot to where I feel comfortable enough to say, hey, we can take care of a kid and we're not going to be living on the fringe the whole time.
I think the tricky part of this one is there's never a perfect time.
No.
Right? Certain things, there's never a perfect time, so there's just the time you're going to choose. And there's a window where you get the choice, and then after that, there's a window where you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
It's true.
And so those are the things where you have to decide your priorities. Silly example, right? I don't care if I ever hike Mount Everest. It's not a thing that's a priority to me. Somebody out there it is.
Right.
And that's just really important. And they're going to sacrifice other things in their life so that they can do that.
Or even possibly their own life.
They may, right? But for whatever reason, that is a premium priority for them. And so their life's going to get designed around making that happen. And I'm not here to endorse or otherwise shame the life decisions. I mean,
this is kind of like the bucket list thing, right? Like,
a little.
Yeah.
Some of it's just, look, I got friends and, you know, part of their family culture is they love to go camping, right? And it's just what they do. And they'll take the trailer over and they'll take their quads and they play on the sand dunes. And that's just like what they do. And most of their vacations, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that. Yeah. Right? But it still has to fit within a lifestyle that you can afford and sustain.
Absolutely.
Right? So somebody says, well, I want this lifestyle, but I can't afford it. I don't care that you want it. If you can't afford it, you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. That's the part where that's not delaying gratification. That's avoiding stupidity. Okay, let's be really clear about it. I'll say that again.
Right.
Delaying gratification is not the same as avoiding stupidity, but they oftentimes walk and talk at the same time.
Yes.
So don't be stupid. And that may actually be delaying gratification, but we have enough stupid out there, right? And what I have is a lot lower threshold for the complainers that have willful blindness, right? Like, you are stupid, and then you complain to other people by pretending you weren't stupid. We knew you were stupid, okay? Decisions have consequences.
Yep.
I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
Right? And the world doesn't exist without consequences, despite what the government will tell you.
Right.
It's just not going to happen, right? You promise you that everything will be free. No, it won't. Well, it never will be.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough of the bandwagon stuff here. Or not bandwagon. Enough of the soapbox. That's what I should have said, right? So there's a time to defer. There's a time not to. Now, how do you assess?
That's a great question.
It is. What we're going to do, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you at least some statistical fighting chance at assessing whether or not this is a want or a need and whether or not you should defer. Stick around. We'll be back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
That's a really good question.
Okay.
And you know, you can quiz me with that one if you
I
want.
Will.
But welcome back to the True Wealth Show, guys. Dave and Matt in studio. Today is the show about when to delay or not delay gratification.
Right.
One of the key elements in long-term financial success, right? If you can't defer gratification, you better find a way to be an extraordinary earner you're probably going to squander a lot.
One of the tough things I've seen with a lot of people is they're good at actually delaying gratification and they're pedaling really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask them, why are you pedaling or where are you pedaling to? They don't know. There might be an arbitrary number that they have in mind. I've seen that multiple times. But working hard, working smart, but for what?
Mm-hmm.
And what direction are you really headed? Because the game of more is really frivolous unless you know what that more is for.
Yeah, well, you can't win, right? You can't win the game of more, and the purpose is diminishing, right? If there's most folks out there that talk about success, it's like, well, you need sort of a relentless burning desire, and you need sort of a purpose or a mission to what you're doing. When you have a mission, you feel like there's a calling to do something. If you're just doing it because, well, these are the motions I was told to go through, you're just kind of on the assembly line cranking fast, but the output is irrelevant to you. You're just doing your function on the assembly line. That's not necessarily a recipe for meaning.
No, and the sad part is those people are often either depressed or feeling down about things, because if the game is more, you never actually hit that. And so you're always, even if you're doing great, you're just looking at it like, well, why am I not doing more? Why do I not have more? And then you're just frustrated with everything.
Yeah, and you know, you could really go down the psychology rabbit hole with this one.
You could.
Right, you really can, because there's elements of like what's your motivation? Is it ego driven or fragile ego driven, which is really the more common, right? It's like, hey, I'm actually insecure, so I'm trying to mask that by performance or something
success,
else.
Success, yeah.
Yeah,
achievements.
So that's a huge one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be that was all that was modeled, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, you're supposed to go work hard, and so there's a certain amount of duty or obligation.
Right.
But that becomes hollow at some point too. And so I think the spiritual landscape has tried to sort this out forever, right? I mean, all the various religions out there, not going to get super evangelical, just, you know, WASP guy, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's been a struggle of humanity for a long time. It's like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? And that, isn't that kind of what you're asking? It's like,
yeah.
Why are you doing that? And somebody goes, it never really occurred to me. I was just doing it faster.
Here's another question you can throw on top of that, another layer. You can say, okay, well, what happens when you get there? And almost every time I ask that question, it's crickets.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go do this thing. And then it's like, well, is that really what you want to do? Is that what's going to make you happy? And it's like, maybe. And so it's just not well thought out often.
Yeah. Well, because the idea is, hey, I got to the top of this mountain, and now what? And you go, well, I better find a new mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe, I think that what you're suggesting, though, is a lot of people are just climbing. They're not even sure if they're on a mountain. They just know they're just, well, I just got to keep on this trail.
We can tie that back to social media, I think. A lot of it
is,
right?
So,
because
and just so everybody knows, that was a big part of what this segment was about, is like, I think social media has really kind of told a great lie to people. And so there's this incredible distraction, and it only fuels this question, this scenario you're talking about, where we don't really know the why, but we just have this
relentless
push to keep up.
I mean, you look at it, over 40% of millennials right now are in debt because of that fact that they're
trying to
chase
a lifestyle.
Yeah, and they see it on Instagram. It's like, hey, look at this girl. She's on a beach in this country. We got to go there. And yeah, I guess we could put it on a credit card and make that happen for you. You do that too many times, and it's devastating.
Well, and how many of these people, it's a fake life?
Oh, it's
right?
So fake.
There are some, like, influencer multimillionaires. Like, they exist, and they're making tons of money, and it's a real lifestyle.
But
that's
sad.
The exception.
To me, it's really sad. You're living all of these moments to show it to other people, and you're working to document it, but you're not living in it. You're not taking it in because you're busy documenting it. How many of these people are just going to look back one day and be like, yeah, I was there and I saw the sunset, but I saw it through my phone?
Yeah, and I don't even know the answer.
I wasn't looking at my loved one. I was looking at my phone. I was posting it on Instagram. I was posting it on Facebook. And it's like, you just missed it.
It's
going to be bad.
You know, we were talking about this too back at the office. The idea that for a lot of people, watching it through the TV screen gives a lot of the same dopamine response as if they were doing it. So we were talking about, like, you can watch somebody climb a mountain and you're like, well, that's like getting 70-80% of the experience is watching somebody else do it in terms of the chemical response.
Right.
And so people are like, well, I feel like I kind of did it. I don't need to do that now. But the question I have is, do you want to look back on your life and say, I was a spectator or I was a participant?
It's so addicting is the other thing. People don't want to talk about how addictive it is. I went without Instagram for like 2 years straight. And someone had sent me something like, you got to see this. So I re-downloaded it to you know, take a peek at whatever it was that they sent me. And it stuck on my phone. I was like, oh, I'll just delete it the day of, right? No, it stuck on my phone for like 3 months. And then I kind of woke up and was like, whoa, it managed to work its way back into the ecosystem. So I had to go in and delete it. But man, it,
what chance do we have when you have companies with trillions of dollars, and you know, billions of dollars of resources, trillions of dollars in value, and their job is to sort of hack into your mind and get you to pay attention as long as possible. Right. And they'll do it through what they track your behavior.
Yep.
And figure out what your button is to push.
Oh, they
you
know
love
it.
Kittens or puppies or fishing, or you know, the number one thing is just very little clothing and a lot of skin like that, and that's what sells.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
So that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The problem is for most of us, like what we don't see is we see everybody else living this life and we don't recognize it as a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is a massive lie that's perpetrated to get you to think that you are missing something, and so you'll change your behavior to try to seek it.
How much family time is lost to that? That's the amazing part to me. It's like you want healthy kids that perform well, or you know, are social and can engage in a conversation. Well, what do you expect? If you're tuned out on your phone 24/7, so is your spouse, and the kid's looking at you and you're not looking at them, I'm telling you, I have such a bad fear for millennials and their kids.
Yeah. Well, I think it could just be a
devastating generation.
Personally, creating the equivalent of a time box that says when I come home at a certain point, I place my phones and tablets and everything in this box, and they can be on chargers.
Right.
Because these are real tools. Like a phone is a tool. Okay. The problem is that sometimes you become the tool using it instead of the other way around. And so put it somewhere, shut it away. I mean, real example, right, is I don't keep my phone in my bedroom. It's in our master bathroom.
Sitting on the counter in the bathroom, yeah?
Yeah, or it used to be, and I just changed the charger, but it was under my sink. Mm. I actually put it out of sight and put it physically away.
Out of sight, out of mind.
It helps. You need that detox.
Another thing that helps, delete all the things that you find interesting off of your phone and turn it into a phone.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't it be weird if the phone was a phone?
Do you know how long it took for me to reprogram my brain? When you open your phone and there's no Facebook, there's no Instagram, the only thing that's on there is maps, texting, phone calls, and like one or two other things. You're not stuck to it. You'll watch your screen time go down. You re-engage. It's a powerful thing.
Well, and it's amazing how the house gets a little cleaner. The garage is a little cleaner.
The car's a little cleaner.
Like all of a sudden you've got this bandwidth that you didn't realize the time that you were just sort of squandering.
I talked to someone the other day that had a shopping addiction, and they went through and they deleted all their shopping apps off their phone. They're saving like $800 a month just by taking that away.
Yeah. No, but here's the thing. You have to do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not going to happen by accident. You have to want it.
So, all right. Well, look, I'm looking at the clock. We're running long. I think what we need to do is grab this last break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about how does one find the balance, right? Between doing it now, deferring till later, and more. But we got to take a break. Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, you're going to have to say it all over again, but this time with the listeners paying attention.
I'm ready.
All right, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio today with
Matt Dixon.
Okay, we have been talking about when do you defer gratification, when don't you, and how do we seek balance, and the show's been all over the board. I would really encourage you to grab the podcast. It's at littlejohnfs.com. Not so subtle plug for our website where you can learn more about our business. But today, it's just kind of funny when you have financial guys are saying, I get it. Delaying gratification is a skill. You need to flex that skill in order to be financially successful. But sometimes you also need to recognize when it's time to take action. Mm-hmm. And how does one find the balance?
Right.
You know, I think one of the first things we were hinting at in the last segment is figure out what are the unnecessary distractions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. And one of the most common today is your phone. And it's not because of the phone. It's because of what we put on it. Right.
Right.
And I think social media and online shopping are probably two of the biggest time thieves and joy thieves out there.
Yep.
Right. Because it really does. I think it was Churchill that said, you know, comparison is the thief of joy.
Right.
Right. And that's a really important thing to consider. It's like when you start comparing yourself to everybody else, it steals from your joy.
Right.
And I can assure you everybody else is comparing themselves to somebody else too, most of the time. So I should say not everybody, but I would tell you if you're comparing yourself to somebody else, especially somebody that appears to have more than you, if that person is like trying to glamorize their life on social media,
mm-hmm.
there's a very, very high probability their life isn't better. It's curated.
Right.
Right. How many people are famous and miserable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So just be aware. And, you know, how many brilliant comedians have we seen that they're no longer with us because they just, behind the scenes, they were miserable.
Right. You thought they were funny, but.
Yeah. I mean, the one that comes to mind immediately was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Right? You know, here's a man who was tortured behind the scenes and you thought his life was great.
Right. He put on a great.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think that is a lot of the world. So the first one is just stop believing in the lies from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you can get away from some of those vices, it'll really help. But how does one assess when to act and when not to, Matt?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I think it's just you got to look at a situation and know, hey, how many more of these opportunities am I going to get? Right. Like I can think back to a personal example. My dad and I, we booked an elk hunt in Wyoming this year. We had talked about it for like 10 years. And I looked at this and I'm like, man, Dad, you're not getting any younger. You know, you're 68 years old. Elk hunting's not easy. These are big animals that, you know, if you get one, requires a lot of work to get one out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, we're just doing it. I'm tired of waiting for the perfect opportunity. We're just going to go to Wyoming. We're going to do this hunt. And so I was like, it's time. Spend the money. Yeah, the tag is 10 times more expensive than the one in Oregon, but it's the experience that we both wanted for a long time. And I'm like, we're doing it. So
yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of instances like that though, where you can look at it and say, how many more opportunities do I get at this? And when it's time to spend money, you'll know, and you'll have the money there because you did delay the gratification. That's the other thing. Like look at the bank account or look at the retirement account. Is the money there to do it? And does the financial plan that you have say, hey, you know, this fits? Because
so
if it fits.
There's the magic, right? Does it fit in the plan?
Right. I talked to someone the other day. They're like, I want to buy this $400,000 house. They're almost 70 years old, and that was like their entire life savings. I'm like, no. Like, you can't do it. Like,
yeah, you can't be illiquid at 70. That's
no,
just the thing.
No, you just can't do it because you can't risk running out of money and becoming homeless, right? Like, you got to stay within the parameters that make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people get that, though. It's like.
So here's a framework that I use to help me make decisions, right? I start with the concept. This came from a different mentor of mine, but it's that everything's a trade,
mm-hmm.
right? We're making trades all the time. And we're saying, if I do this thing, there's something else I'm not going to do. And that happens all the time, right? So the question is, how do you weigh the trade and is it worth it?
Right.
Right. So that would be the way I would describe it is, am I fully evaluating what the trade is? Because I think what a lot of people do is they just pretend it's not a trade. I just want it. I'm not going to look at the negative consequences. I'm just going to do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to deal with the consequences. And then, you know, there's a bit of like, oh, woe is me. Like, well, no. I mean, so what you're telling me is, in retrospect, that was a bad trade. right?
Which
if
one?
If you do something and you regret it, you're saying that was a bad trade.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what I'm suggesting is evaluate it from that perspective. Is what I am giving up worth it?
Yeah. Are you going to regret it after you do it?
Yeah. And so that I think is a good, and the other thing is, will I regret it if I don't?
I always ask myself the question, am I harming my future self?
That's the same way. That's the same question phrased a different way, right? Which is, will I regret it if I don't?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's a pretty big deal too.
Well, some people just never regret anything though. They'll just march on like, no regrets. And it's like,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that kind of comes back to intentionality then.
Yeah,
because if you don't really care what the outcome is, then I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? Great. If you're going to be miserable, well, I don't care. I don't regret it. It's like, all right, then just be comfortable in your misery.
I love that.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, fine. If that's how you want to play it, I'm not judging you for it. I'm just saying, don't complain to me about it. If you had other opportunities and you're like, well, you know what? Screw it. I can do whatever I want. And I'm going to complain about it too.
That's a big piece.
Yeah. That's the part that I go, look, if
you can't
just keep your
complain.
Mouth shut about it, fine, right?
Yeah, if you say it doesn't matter.
Yeah, go make all the bad decisions we want if you're going to own them.
Yeah,
right?
But don't come complaining after you've done
it. And don't expect somebody else to bail you out, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, I made all the terrible decisions. I did all the grasshopper decisions, and I want the ant to give me, you know, to bail me out. Like, no. It's called accountability. Try it.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that's the final straw. And again, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Like, that's the thing. Like, I get for folks that – if you don't think it's more expensive for young people today, you're living in a dreamland. It's expensive, okay?
Yep.
Like, it just costs more. Lots of stuff costs more. But that doesn't mean it's not possible, okay? I'm just saying it's going to take a lot of intentionality. And you might be surprised how much you claim back in your life if you put the phone down and you put some of the social media down and you get to the business of living life and doing some of it rather than watching everybody else do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, look, if the key is the plan and whether or not it fits in the plan so that you can evaluate whether or not the trade is worth it.
42% more likely to achieve your goals if you've got one.
How do they get started with the plan, Matt?
Well, why don't you just head over to our website? That'll make it easy. Little John.
Yeah, it wasn't even a subtle plug at this point. Matt, how can they reach us for help?
Let's go to littlejohnfs.com. You can chat us there. We'll get back to you when we got time.
Yep.
So the phone number is too hard to remember anyway. So littlejohnfs.com.
Yeah. Go, or you can call or text 541-375-0898. But yeah, we're out of time for today. But if we can give you a hand, please give us a call. If it's not us, find somebody you like and trust and work with them. Until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.